Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, welcome to the new expanded version of What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available for you. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are all available for you on our site. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. or give us a call at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live at Periscope. Download the app from the Apple Store or the Android Play Store. Follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we're live on the air. Today we will continue our study in the book of John, and I am really excited about what God's going to talk to about us today. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. It's always my distinct pleasure to introduce my co-host who's with us today, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri from God's Kingdom and Him Ministries in Chesterfield, Virginia. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm just so excited, man. I tell you, I got some good stuff coming out of John chapter 14 today.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, brother.
So give us a little bit of an update on what's going on in your ministry.
Yes, sir. We are continuing to meet on Hall Street, which is 3076 Hall Street Road. We are meeting every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are getting to enjoy the presence of the Lord, and we are breaking the bread of life, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, ain't nothing like breaking the bread of life.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir.
I think he said something about the fact that we don't live by bread alone, and we're not talking about natural food, but by
exactly.
Every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, folks, if you've been following us, we are now on every Tuesday morning from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. We were blessed with some financial resources to help us expand the broadcast to an hour. And we're also looking for another day during the week that we could come with another show for about an hour. But that's all in the works. It takes time and logistics and what have you to get all that put together. But stay tuned because we've got some exciting things happening. Let me pray. And then we're going to get started in John chapter 14. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you in this way. We thank you, Lord, that your word is seed that is being sown into good ground, and that we'll receive a 30, a 60, a 100, even a 1,000-fold return in this lifetime. And Father, we just thank you that you have the Holy Spirit present, that he is our comforter. He leads and guides us into all truth and shows us things to come. And that, Father, you promised in your word that you'd never leave us or forsake us, but you guide us and direct us. So, Father, have your way this morning. lead and guide this conversation so that it brings honor and glory to you, and we'll just give you all that honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, brother, I was studying this up about 2 days ago. I was reading through John chapter 14, and yes, it took me about 2 hours just to get by the first verse.
Yes.
So I want to read that to y'all in the New King James Version. This is John chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Glory be to God." When you read that same scripture in the Amplified Bible, it really kind of, you know, expands it and brings it out a little bit. It says, "Do not let your heart be troubled, afraid, cowardly. Believe confidently in God and trust in him. Have faith, hold on to it, rely on it, keep going, and believe also in me. Glory be to God."
Glory.
The final thing I want to read is the Message Bible, which says, "Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Well, trust me. There's plenty of room," and we'll go on with that in a little bit, "but trust me." So Jesus is telling his disciples, look, you believe in God. Trust me. I and the Father are one. Go ahead and give us a little explanation of that.
Brother, I was looking at this scripture also. I like more how Amplified Version puts it. It said, "Don't let your heart be troubled, afraid, cowardly." And I was wondering, now when you just consider the word, because most of the version use it, "let not," "don't," "do not." Amplified is, it's kind of like a command, "do not." Amplified says, "let not." And I was wondering, I said, now, isn't that reminding me of where you were sharing when we were in Uganda about renewing our minds? Now, it depends on us. And that means we can let our hearts be troubled, or we can say, "Lord, you are all that we are trusting in. Nothing should make us afraid." And then it takes us back to where it says that, can you change anything, or can you change your hair from black to gray or gray to black if you worry? So that means it depends on us as believers not to let our hearts be troubled. The Lord has left that. We choose either to trust him or we choose to worry, and that is, let our hearts be troubled.
Well, that was the same thing that I got, and I thought it was very interesting that he says, in Amplified, and I like that version the best because I think it really adds emphasis where emphasis is due. Do not. So that is not that's not a request. That's a command.
Yes.
Okay, so he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled," and then of course he expands and says, "afraid or cowardly or whatever." But you know, the thing is there that really jumped out at me in that first verse as I was sitting there meditating on this thing.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We have the responsibility; it's our responsibility. He can't.
Right.
He can't make our heart not be troubled. He can't. He's not going to control your emotions. Okay, he's not going to control your thought process. He obviously wants to influence your emotions and influence your thought process. But you're absolutely right. You got to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when it talks about the fact that we need to renew our mind by the washing of the water of the Word, and we've been through that in great detail. This is all about renewing our mind, and in order to renew our mind so that our heart, quote unquote, not the physical heart that beats in our body, but our minds submitted to the Holy Spirit, so that we don't have to experience that fear, okay?
Right.
Or that trepidation or that trouble. You know, when trouble comes, we go, well, okay, this is trouble, but you know, my God has told me, in fact, he's commanded me not to allow my heart to be troubled, not to allow my thoughts to be those of fear, not to be cowardly, not to back up from the course that God has given me to run, not to cower in the face of the enemy. I am supposed to be bold and confident and move forward. And so the thing that I really, really, really want to make people understand is this is up to you. This is all
right.
about you. God has done everything that he's going to do in this particular situation. It's up to you. And he says, do not, at all costs, do not let your heart be troubled. Glory be to God.
And it's amazing, brother, in that when you come, and I know we'll get to that, but I was looking at also John 14. You come to verse 27, he repeats the same thing when you read it through Amplified Version. He said, peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Then he emphasizes again, do not, like you stated it, we want to emphasize it to our listeners. He has left the choice with us. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. But the key here that we want to emphasize, do not. So the choice is left with that.
Well, I disagree with the fact that, well, it is, you're right, it is our choice.
Mm-hmm.
but you have to understand that when God gives you a command, it mm-hmm. is really non-negotiable. You know, you
Correct.
Can't sit there and say, well, you know, okay, I'll believe here and I won't have fear here, but I think I'll just maintain and hold on. No, he's not talking about that at all. He's talking about, look, do not, under any circumstances, regardless of what happens to you, no matter what situation tries to rear its ugly head, no matter how much pain you feel, none of that, not let your heart be troubled, because, and he validates that in other scriptures in the Bible where he says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
That's right.
And so we really do have to make a decision whether or not we're going to obey. And, of course, we know that obedience is better than sacrifice.
Correct.
And glory be to God. So this is just really, I think, a very important verse in our traversing, if you will, through the book of John, you know, where he's telling the disciples, look. And see, it's also interesting, too, that he says this now, because we're right about in the middle of John. He knows what's getting ready to come. He knows
Correct.
What's getting ready to happen, okay?
Mm.
So he's telling these guys, look, whether you understand it or believe it or not, I know the things that you're getting ready to go through, and it is going to be absolutely essential and imperative that you do not let your heart be troubled. Glory be to God. And so I think for our listeners today, I want to give that to them as well. Wherever you're at in your Christian walk, there's trouble coming. There's trouble brewing. Because the devil's job is to come immediately to steal, kill, and destroy. And in fact, if you're listening to this broadcast or you hear it on the archive or on a CD later, you know, believe me, as soon as you stop listening to this, the devil's coming. He has a plan for your life just as God does. It's for evil. It's for destruction. It's for pain. It's for agony. It's for defeat. And God says, I have a plan for your life, and it's for good and not for evil. It's for a future and a hope. And so, you know, he's coming. And so we want you to understand that and be able to cognitively in your mind make the decision not to be afraid. And the words that he uses synonymously with that is afraid, cowardly, a lack of faith, because the opposite of fear is faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you can't see, but fear is false evidence appearing real. Glory be to God. And so we want you to be able, because our job here on this broadcast and with Pastor Godfrey's ministry and mine is both to help you make the Word of God real. This thing, I mean, if all we're doing is spending money and an hour or so a week, you know, sitting here just reading the Bible for our own exhortation and edification, then we're really wasting our time. This is for you. This is for you so that you become convinced that the Word of God is real and that you can apply it to your life. That's what we want to do. That's why we use all of these these practical examples, and that's why we expand and expound on the word and use different scriptures other than just the one that we're on, because we want you to experience the full counsel of God. Only
that's
when
right.
you have full counsel of God can you really make an intelligent decision and begin to change the circumstances of your life. Well, that's my mini sermonette for the morning.
Hallelujah, brother. Thank
oh,
you, Jesus.
Oh boy, this is just so good. I mean, that's only one verse, and what we're going to get into is going to cause a tremendous conversation, and I'm really excited about that. So let's get started. In verse
Amen.
2, he then goes on to say, "In my Father's house are many mansions." If it were not now, there's a reference here to that word in my New King James Version, which talks about dwellings. Okay, So in my Father's house there are many mansions or many dwellings. If it were not so, see now you got to look at the grammar, okay, of what he's saying. So if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself. Now, that's a very important word. I have it underlined and circled. I will receive you to myself. We're going to go somewhere with this here in just a second.
Yes.
That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That three verses right there, there is a block of steak right there, and we're gonna get our knives and forks and our 57 sauce, and we're getting ready to get into it. Pastor, you want to say something before I want to go into the amplified version of those same three verses. Go ahead.
Yes, brother. I'm looking at this verse, but it has also a reference, if you will, in Acts chapter 1. And verse 11, actually, we can come from verse 9 to 11. It says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight." Verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So here Jesus was preparing their hearts of what would happen after resurrection. And in Acts, we see him resurrected and is ready to be received and is giving us such an assured word that he will come in like manner and receive us. I want you to read it in Amplified, then we'll continue.
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't looked at that verse in Acts, but you are absolutely correct. That is right on time. that falls exactly into what I'm getting ready to talk about here. All right, in chapter 14, verse 2, in the Amplified version. Folks, I'll tell you one thing. I'm so excited. My skin is just on fire. My hands are just enlightened and hair standing up on the back of my neck. This is whew, glory be to God. This is called the anointing of God that breaks the yoke of bondage and sets the captives free. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right, in verse 2, now I want you to pay close attention here. It says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." Now, the traditional church has for years talked about mansions, and he talks about this in the New King James Version. That's the word that he uses. But we can get all hung up on the prosperity message. The prosperity message.
Right.
He talked about that we're gonna have a mansion in heaven, and we're gonna sit on the dock of the bay and watch time roll away as we dabble our feet in the anointing. Well, I'm telling you that there's nothing that's farther from the truth. That is a lie. From the pits of hell, okay? And I can prove it in the word, hallelujah. But he says there are many dwelling places. Now, that's the key. If you are in your currently, where are you dwelling, okay? I'm dwelling down here in the studio in my house, okay?
Right.
This is my dwelling place. This is where I'm at right now. So where are you dwelling, okay? And what he says here, he says, look,
He says, I am going to prepare a dwelling place for you. Hallelujah.
Right.
He says, if it were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, now listen to this. This is very, very important that we understand this. He says, I will come back again, and I will take you to myself. Hallelujah. I will take you to myself. In other words, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. Okay?
Right.
And when I come back, I'm going to take you to myself. Now, traditional wisdom and theology would say that, well, you got to wait till the rapture for that. You got to wait till the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, folks, that is not the case. He says, I am coming back to take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. Okay? And he says, and to the place where I am going, you know the way. So look, we've got to break this down, Pastor. We got to break this down into the intricate details here. He says, look, he says, first of all, you know, you say you don't know where I'm going, but you know where I'm going. Okay.
Right.
Is it possible? And I want you to expand on this. Is it possible that could be an indication of the path that we have to choose as a Christian in the way that we're going to walk?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Because when you look at that very scripture, brother, you remember where he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the very, very specific. So it's again, it reminds me of where we started, that there is a choice that is laid before us. And we are to say, are we going to be afraid or not be going to be afraid? Now, then he continues on down. It's always a choice. And also, don't forget where he says in the Old Testament, I set before you heaven and earth. I'm setting before you blessing and a curse. Choose. So the choice is left for us.
Yeah, amen. And so what I want people to understand is this is not here's where you have to be careful. This is a prophetic word, but it's not prophesying about life after death. Okay.
Right.
You got to get this, folks. This is very, very important. He is prophesying about right now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And in fact, actually, he's prophesying about 50 days after he dies. And that was that was the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came. See? Because the only way, there's two ways for you to be with Jesus. Okay? You can be with Jesus now through the Holy Ghost, or you can wait until you die and you go to heaven.
Glory.
So I ask you, you know, do you want to wait till you go to heaven to experience the presence of Jesus, or do you want to do it now? Well, if you read this word and you study this thing out, you're going to find out something here. He's telling them, he says, look, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. So I am going there to prepare a place for you. Well, what does he got to do? What does he have to prepare? He doesn't have to prepare a physical structure because, I mean, there will be those there in heaven, but that's all irrelevant. We're not, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be concerned about physical dwelling places. Oh, come on now. We're going to have our resurrected bodies, you know, and we're going to be busy doing the work of the kingdom. It's going to be daylight 24/7 because of the glory of God. We're not going to have to worry about those things. The mansions, if you will, the brick and mortar, are going to be of no consequence. They just won't matter. But that's not the important thing. And so what he's saying here is that, look, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back. It's probably not going to be in the same form that you think I am.
And we can see that if we continue through Scripture. But I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come and get you, and I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back again, and I will take you to myself. So that where I am, you may be also.
Also.
Now you can read that as future tense. Okay? Mm. And we know that that's going to happen after the rapture. Okay?
Mm. Mm.
But I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that he's saying, look, you can be with me right now because of the thing that I'm getting ready to go do. I am preparing the Holy Ghost to come and be with you because the Holy Ghost is your comforter. He leads and guides you into all truth and shows things to come. And he is with me. In fact, he is me and I am him. So why can't I dwell with Jesus now through the power of the Holy Ghost? You go ahead.
And I'm also reminded that as you talk about the dwelling, how you're now dwelling in your house, and that we're listening to the broadcast where you're seated from your house. And I'm looking at verse 1 of Psalm 91. I know we all know this psalm very well. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High.
Come on now.
Brother, yes, as you were hinting on it, it has never come so alive to me as it is now. Relating to that scripture, as you're explaining it, he that dwells, where are we to dwell, in the future or right now? He says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Mm.
Now, I believe it's right now. We are dwelling. We choose to have our dwelling place in him. And of course, a verse that says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I trust. And when you read the Amplified Version, it shows that it says, don't let your heart be troubled, which is afraid, cowardly. Believe confidently in God and trust him. I believe this is where we choose to say, my dwelling place is in him right now. I'm under his shadow. No matter what comes, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm securely trusting the Lord.
Wow. That's amazing. I had forgotten about Psalm 91. But then you can also go to, was it the 23rd Psalm, where he talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Now, what you have to understand is you cannot really confess that. And folks, there's never been a greater time in the history of the world for us to understand this than there is right now. I mean, we've had trouble before, but what we've got now is just it's unbelievable. It's absolutely amazing. But when he says, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, the only way that he can say that is because of Psalm 91. Because he's saying, look, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil because I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And I say of my Lord, he is my rock, my refuge, my God, in whom I do trust.
Yeah. Okay?
So here's what you have to understand. If you're under the shadow of the Almighty, then the devil can't see you. Oh, come on.
Come on.
We can sing the hammer song. Can't touch this. Do, 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 do. Can't touch this. Do. I mean, come on. If you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, then how is the devil going to see you?
He cannot.
He can't. Oh. And so therefore, you look at this thing and you go, man, if I know that I'm going to walk down through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. So meanwhile, while I'm walking down through the valley of the shadow of death, under the shadow of the Almighty, death can't do anything. And so now when I'm going through this trial and this tribulation and things are terrible,
look at what else the 23rd Psalm says. He says, look, he prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies.
Yeah.
He maketh me lay down by still waters in the green grass.
Mm.
Now, this is all during the middle of the turmoil. I'm going through hell, but I'm at peace. I have fear. I'm not cowardly. I have trusted my life to the Lord. I believe in God. I trust His Son. I understand who the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit is my covering as I abide under the shadow of the Almighty and walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I can be at peace with myself. I can be at peace with God. I can be at peace with others. You want to know why people come up to you all the time and go, how in the world are you always so happy? Don't you know what's going on in this world? Don't you have financial troubles? Don't you have emotional problems? Don't you have relationship problems? Don't you have job problems? I mean, all of these things that come against us, if we understand this, that our current place of residence, is an abiding place, okay? That's a dwelling place, okay?
Yeah.
If our current place of residence is under the shadow of the Almighty, then it does not matter whether we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't matter what comes against us. It doesn't matter what plot is formed against us. It doesn't matter what the committee called they say about us, because they are idiots. It does not, none of that matters, because we're supposed to be at peace. As you said earlier, if we study that word out, that's the peace that passeth all understanding.
Yeah.
And we'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Go ahead.
And brother, the good thing with dwelling, I was getting a picture that when you dwell in your house, I know we've had rains in a few days ago, a few hours in the past, but you'd see that when it rains and you're dwelling in your house, brother, you'll never be troubled that, oh my God, now it's going to soak my furniture, the waters are going to soak my carpet. No, you are confident, and you know that whatsoever is going on outside, it's raining on the outside, but inside you are so safe. So I believe that is even where our hearts become so content and so fixed and trusting our Lord that, you know what, the table is already prepared before. In fact, the Bible says before the presence, because you are walking through. You are not walking to stay, but you are walking through that shadow, and the Lord is with you. His covering is with you as you are dwelling in under His shadow.
Amen. Now, let me speak a word of caution, okay?
Yeah.
Because with everything that God says in His Word, we as Christians have a propensity, we have a tendency to be very lax and very lazy in our application of the Word. Okay. Now what we are telling you here today is absolutely the truth, because I know Pastor Godfrey, and he knows me, and we are living this thing. You know, we are living this peace, and brothers and sisters out there on the radio, you know, there ain't nobody that's had more trouble than we've had. But we continue to press forward towards the high calling of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we have this peace that passeth all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we understand that we recognize the fact that we are dwelling in the secret place.
Yeah.
We are in secret place. And it doesn't have to be a secret if you believe. Now, I was reading something, I think it was a couple weeks ago, we were in John chapter 13. I believe it says, you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is the presence of God. Okay?
That's right.
So if you believe, now there's a question. That's what we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. If you believe, then you will see. But if you don't believe, you will not see. Now, there's a section of society out there that would say, I got to see it to believe it. Well, I'm telling you, they're never going to see it.
That's right.
They're never going to believe it because they don't believe it before they see it. Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen.
Not seen. That's right.
So if we don't believe it, then we're never going to see it. But once we believe it, then we will see it because that's what the word says.
That's
okay?
Right.
Go ahead.
And I'm glad, brother, that, like I said, it's hard to move away from this because the very first words that we get say, let not your heart, and we know that in according to Romans chapter 10, it says, with a heart man believes and confession is made unto salvation. So it begins with a heart. Because if you just say, well, I'm waiting to see it, then I'll believe it, you cannot have it because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So what are you hearing? That also matters. But if you continue to hear the word of God, then faith is being built. And faith is the substance of things not seen.
Amen. Now, I want to go, if you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, and everybody knows this scripture because it's what people call the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer. But when he talks about here, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want to tie that in here because it's very important for you to understand. And I know that this is very controversial and people will have issues with this. But folks, I'm telling you, you can live heaven on earth.
That's right.
Excuse me. And you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until you die to enjoy the benefits of heaven. Okay.
No.
Because that's what he's saying right here. He's saying, look, I don't, you know, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. Okay?
Correct.
So your geographical, your physical location is on the planet, but you're not from there. You're from heaven. Okay? And so if you are an ambassador, we talk about that in several other scriptures in the Bible where he talks about we're an ambassador in bonds. If we're an ambassador from the kingdom of God, then our resources and our provision is not going to come from the country that we're in. Our provision does not come. Our paycheck, our money that we get, the resources that we get does not come from this earth. It all comes from the kingdom of God because that's where we're at.
That's right. Praise God.
So when you talk about living heaven on earth, you have to understand that, again, we're not talking about you're going to have a 27-bedroom house and a 3,000-square-foot pool in your backyard. That's not what we're talking about. Now, you may have those things, but that's still not the most – this is not about things.
No, it's not.
See? And so we have to quench that foolishness and speak against it because that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is Jesus. And if
that's
we
right.
keep Jesus the most important thing – then all of this other stuff will take care of itself. And so when we talk about living heaven on earth, we're not talking about a life of leisure. I mean, if you honestly can tell me that you believe when you die and go to heaven that you're going to be sitting on the dock of the bay watching time roll away, then you haven't read your Bible. You got a word because the word never says anything about that. It never says that you're just going to be sitting around doing nothing. It says that you're going to be busy. We're going to be busy. We're going to be so doing. We're going to be learning, and we're going to be teaching. We're going to be teaching those that don't know, and we're going to be taught what we don't know through eternity. Okay? Earth, this life that we have on earth is merely a training ground, if you will. Oh, here we go. I'll get phone calls and emails about this one. It's merely a training ground for what you're going to be doing in heaven.
Hallelujah.
You and I are going to be on WGOD.
Hallelujah.
The world Thank without a Jesus. Microphone, an amplifier, or anything, man. We're just going to be talking, and people are going to hear what we have to say.
Praise God. That's encouraging.
I mean, am I too far gone there, Pastor? Am I just a lunatic?
No, you're not. Brother, we are looking at the Word. That's why we have to get some other scriptures that are agreeing with what we are saying, brother.
Well, I'd like to see some that disagree. I think we can find plenty of them that agree, but I don't think you can find any of them that disagree.
I don't think you can, because even the last one we've looked at, we call it Jesus' prayer, the disciples' prayer, whatever someone chooses to call it, it says, "Thy kingdom come where? On earth. Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven." So that means, brother, this is where we come to find that the scriptures agree with with what we are sharing.
Well, if it's not right, okay, mm-hmm. then send me 37 scriptures that prove that we're wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to be able to find them, okay? But, if you show me 37 scriptures, if you show me 10 that contradict what we're talking about, then I will reevaluate my position and perhaps change my mind. I kind of seriously doubt it. But anyway. Yeah, because when you talk about it that in Matthew chapter 6, where he says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," you know,
right.
What would be the point of doing what's, you know, of bringing heaven to earth after the rapture? I mean, what's the point?
Hmm.
See, we need heaven on earth now. We need to teach people how to walk through that valley of the shadow. That was so good, man. We need to teach people how to abide under the shadow of the Almighty now, so that because what's the point of doing it later? If you've already been raptured and you're in heaven, why do you have to find the secret place? You're in the place,
right?
And He's in your face, full of His grace. Oh, come
That's
on!
That's right.
Now, why do you need it then? I need it now. Okay.
Right.
I need it now when the bill collector's at the door wanting his money. I need it now when the repossessor guy brings the tow truck up to the house and wants to tow the car away. I need it now.
That's right.
So the purpose of doing it later, it just doesn't make any sense. Because when we're raptured out of here, none of this is gonna matter.
That's true.
Glory
now,
be to God.
And I'm wondering, could it be, when you look at Romans, I was reminded of it as you're sharing, "Thy kingdom come on earth, thy will be done on earth." When you look at Romans 8:19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." Now, could it be that even there is that cry, you know, this cry on the earth, that when are the sons going to be manifested, that they would exercise that authority when they say, "Your kingdom, Lord, let it come on earth. Let your will be done on earth." Now, we know what the will in heaven is. There is joy, peace. And the Lord wants that same to be exercised, to be experienced here on earth. And I was wondering, could it be that scripture also refers to that, that the creature is also in groaning and crying out, "When are the sons of God going to be manifested?"
Well, I want to know this. Have you ever walked out in your backyard and heard the rocks crying out?
Mm-hmm.
I told I walked out here on the deck one night and heard them cry. I said, "Y'all shut up. I'm gonna glorify God. I'm gonna praise God.
Right.
You know, I don't want to listen to you cry out to God. I'm crying out to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, cry out. I just talked to him. He's right here with me. Oh, glory be to God. Now we're getting weird. Is it okay, Pastor? Is it okay if we just Lord have mercy. Is it all right if we just get excited about Jesus? Is it okay if we just jump up and down, holler and scream and shout about the blessed word of God? I mean,
yes,
come on.
Yes.
I get so tired of hearing about people going, well, I went to church today and the pastor had a good message. Oh, yeah? Why? Mm. Why was it good? Because it tickled your toes? Because it didn't challenge you? Because it didn't offer you any room to grow? All it did was feel good. And he said, well, blessed are you and living in your sin, and it's okay. That's a load of garbage.
That's right.
Oh, Lord, don't get me started.
Come on.
All right. Believe it or not, we have been on the radio now for 45 minutes.
Wow. Time ran so fast, brother.
I'm telling you one thing, man. I can't get over this. This is just awesome. He says, I am creating you a dwelling place. And a dwelling place is where? It's a place to reside. It's a place to abide. And so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yea, though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have any fear. We're not fearing evil. You know, what else does he say in that scripture? He says, look, I've prepared a meal for you. That's the word of God, because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So is it possible that when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, that's when we need to turn back to the word, to feast upon the word? So, because we don't have to worry about anything happening to us because we're under the shadow of the Almighty. So we can just rest and relax and study the word as we go through these troubles. Oh, come on, man. This stuff is real.
Honestly.
You know, he lays us down in green grass. Have you ever laid down in green grass? Man, it is so soft. It is wonderful.
Yeah.
And we're sitting by the still waters, just the little babble of that brook going down the road. The water is still. It's not being in turmoil. There's not a hurricane or a tornado coming through it. Everything is just peaceful. Everything. I mean, come on. Isn't that where we want to be? Isn't that where we're supposed to be? Glory be to God. Now, I want to finish this up today with one more verse, because that's all we're going to get through. In verse four, I want to talk about this a little bit in depth. He says in verse four, he says, let me see where that's at. There it is. Yeah, he says, why can't I see verse four? There's three and there's five, so where's four? Oh, here it is. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, in the Amplified Bible, it says, and to the place where I am going, you know the way. Oh, glory be to God. In the Amplified, it says, and you already know the road I'm taking.
Thank you, Jesus.
My goodness gracious. So what does that mean? Give us a little explanation of that, Pastor.
Brother, it takes me back to what I was looking at, where Jesus says, I am the way. Now, we don't forget that we looked at John 10 as we finished those chapters, where Jesus says, I'm the door. In other words, when you come to me, I'm the door. Now, here is confidently, and I'm looking also in Amplified verse where it says, and to the place where I'm going, you know the way. Now, who is the way? Jesus is the way. And look at verse chapter 15 and verse 4, where it says, abide in me and I in you. And come again to verse 6, it says, if a man abide not in me, come again to verse 7, John 15 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. And we know who is Jesus. Of course, Revelation talks of him, Jesus the Word. Now, he is the way. And when we continue further, we'll be seeing that that's where he says that I will send another comforter, another counselor. Now, where are we dwelling? Like you're saying, right now we are dwelling under the shadow.
Amen.
So if you don't get excited about Jesus, then you've lost it all. You can't have the peace, and then you let your heart be troubled.
So yeah, because he said throughout this whole study, he said, look, he says, I am the way. If you see me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you've known the Father. If you know the Father, you know me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The question is, do you want to be with the Father? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I missed that. The question?
I said the question is, do you want to be with the Father?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a big question. Of course, we want to be with the Father. And I believe as we'll be continuing, that's why it says that I will not leave you as orphans. I know Amplified Version puts it so well in the next verses that we'll be looking at. It says, I will not leave you counseless. Amplified says, I will not leave you as orphans. And I was thinking of that word. An orphan is somebody who doesn't have the father has died or the parents are not there. But the Bible says he has given us the spirit where we cry, Abba, Father. That means our yearning should be to our lovely daddy. We want to dwell with the Father. Hallelujah.
Wow, that's just been amazing. So, you know, what we have to understand is that if we want this in our lives, okay, if we want to live heaven on earth, and again, this is not pie in the sky. This is not, you know, the euphoria message where, well, yeah, just trust in God and you'll never have any problems. No, this is not that at all. This is very practical. It's very real. And what we're telling you is that, you know, the Bible says clearly, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but
yes,
God delivers us out of them all. And in this world, we'll have tribulations, but we fear not the world, for he's overcome the world and put all things under his feet. So if that's the case, okay, then you have to understand that going in. And this is where much of the church is in error. When it comes to discipleship, because they don't teach this. They teach the prosperity message that, oh yeah, you can have seven mansions and an airplane and all that stuff and never have any problems at all. And then that's just a lie from the pits of hell. That's not it. But what this is saying is that this life, from the day that you come out of your mother's womb until the day you die, is going to be a fight. There's going to be turmoil. There's going to be conflict, but you can go through that with peace. You can go through that with happiness. You can go through that with joy. You don't have to be moved by the drama and the junk in your trunk and all that kind of funk. You know, none of that. I mean, all of that stuff is going to happen. I mean, just like you're running a church, there ain't no problems like church problems.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
let's face it. There are no problems like church problems. Okay.
Right.
But you don't have to be moved by those things. Yes, you have to deal with them. We're not talking about again a euphoric state where nothing bad ever happens. But what we're talking about is equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's what we are as fivefold ministry leaders. Is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, bringing them together in unity until Jesus comes back. You know, you're going to have trouble, but you need to learn how to deal with it. You need to learn how to deal with it according to the Word of God. And that does not necessarily mean that you're going to walk around being a pacifist, that you're not going to engage in conflict. Like I do it all the time. I am an apologist. I have no problem defending the cause of Christ. And we'll do it at the drop of a hat. But I know how to draw the line between a debate and an argument. When it gets to be an argument, then it's time to shut it down because it's hard. The Bible says it's ridiculous to argue with a fool because then you can't figure out who the fool is. And I don't want to be the fool. You know, that's just the way that is. But you are going to have conflicts. You're going to have confrontations. And what we're advocating here is that you can live in a position of superiority, okay, yet being inferior because of your faith and your trust in God. these ecumenical and denominational and all that kind of stuff where they talk about, I get so annoyed by it, where they talk about elevating people. I you can't show that to me in the Bible. I don't believe you can show me any place in the Bible where a person is elevated until the rapture comes or until they die. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Hello?
That's right.
Hello? That doesn't praise say anything God. About elevating you here in this place on earth, making you something. In fact, if the Son of God, felt humble enough to bring himself to this earth and pay the price for our sin, and he certainly did not elevate himself. See? He was already elevated. He could have stayed up there in heaven and enjoyed the glory and the glitz and the glamour, if you will, of being in heaven. But he volunteered to subject himself to the brutality and to the cruel and unusual punishment that had to come in order to fulfill his Father's plan. Glory.
That's right.
And so if you are a fivefold ministry leader, you know, we're not in any way degrading you or ridiculing or persecuting you. What we're saying is you need to get your head screwed on straight, get your perspective right, and understand that as a fivefold ministry leader, you are nothing more than a servant of the one true and living God.
That's right. But that's what he tells us in Philippians chapter 2, what we've been describing, brother. The Bible says he humbled himself, he lowered himself, and even to the death of the cross. I mean, that was himself choosing to leave the glory in heaven. In fact, the Bible says that he never thought of himself of some reputation. That means he left it all and humbled himself as a servant. He didn't die on the cross. So there is no way you come to elevate ourselves as servants of God.
Well, see, and it's interesting to note, he knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly what his authority was. Remember when he told the king, he said, look, I can bring legions of angels down here right now and stop this thing in its track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew who he was and what his authority was, but he made a choice. He made a conscious decision. Yeah, he made a conscious decision not to promote himself, but to promote the agenda of his Father in heaven, which was, you know, to pay the price for sin and finally seal the devil's fate forever. Glory be to God. And so we as Christians have that same responsibility, that same job or that same assignment rests on our shoulders. You know, we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. What is it? Second Chronicles or First Chronicles? Second Chronicles says, you know, 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and pray, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Well, you know that's something that obviously has been fulfilled in the New Testament with Jesus dying on the cross. But we still have a fiduciary responsibility to continue to serve the Lord and do his work on this earth. Well, folks, I have to tell you, this has been absolutely wonderful, but we're out of time, which is hard to believe, but yes, we are. And we want to ask you to join us next week, next Tuesday at 10 o'clock for What Does the Word Say? And we'll be here to continue our study in John, obviously, chapter 14, because we didn't get very far. Thank you for your best, and we'll let the Spirit reign. Hallelujah. We'll see you next week.